today's audio cast for Monday, February 26, 2007 from AvWeb, the world's premier independent aviation news resource, is brought to you by the Bose Aviation Headset 10. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting. When a pilot declares an emergency, the world is supposed to stop turning while controllers, the flight crew, and even ground personnel devote their entire attention to getting the distressed aircraft on a runway without delay. But as reported by ABC News last week, it didn't work out that way for an American Airlines Boeing 757 that declared an emergency near Dallas last summer. Here's an analysis of the incident by Aviation Safety's Paul Bertarelli.
There are a lot of good things about being a pilot, but one of the best is most of us will never need to declare an emergency. Sure, we'll all have some tense moments in the cockpit and maybe some tall stories to tell about the time the gear indicator light burned out or an alternator belt parted company, but we won't need to declare an emergency to sort that out. On the other hand, if something is on fire or large important parts are falling off the airplane, declaring emergency is there for the taking. In aeronautical terms, it's about as close as you're ever going to get to crowning yourself king for a day, or at least for that portion of it that your airplane remains airborne and in extremis. When the word emergency is used, all the rules go out the window. You do what you must to resolve the emergency safely. Everyone knows that. Pilots know it, ground crews know it, and controllers know it too. And that's why the story I'm about to relate here is, well, alarming, because it describes an incident in which a controller denied an aircraft emergency handling priority, not just once, but twice. Fortunately, it rarely happens, and for all I know, it has never happened before, nor should it. The incident occurred last August when an American Airlines Boeing 757 flying near Dallas declared an emergency. Here's a taped exchange, which we extracted from a news story reported by ABC News last week.
We need to declare an emergency. We've got a low fuel situation. We're not sure if it's a fuel leak or what, but we need to get on the ground right away, please. DFW, maybe even landing south if the winds permit.
Okay, American 49, clear direct DFW.
The radio exchange was short, professional, and above all, unambiguous. The crew has clearly declared an emergency and requested priority handling. There's nothing vague about it, no uncertainties about having some sort of undefined problem, and no discussion about where they want to go. In a subsequent transmission, the crew added this.
Okay, sir, we'd like to land on 17 Center, please.
Okay, sir. We will tell approach control your request. I'm sure they'll try to accommodate you.
The Fort Worth Center controller, without missing a beat, clears the American flight direct to Dallas as requested. What happens next defies explanation. After clearing the flight direct Dallas, the Fort Worth Center controller interphones the Dallas TRACON with this message.
American 49 just declared an emergency. He needs to go direct to the airport and he's requesting to land south. He's having a fuel emergency. Yeah, American 49 is requesting 17 Center.
Yeah, I'm unable to expect 31 right.
Although the center controller again uses the word emergency, the TRACON controller appears not to get the message and seems to indicate that the American flight will be handled in sequence or flowed into the prevailing traffic configuration, a northwest operation centered on runway 31 right. But the American crew was approaching from the north and wanted to fly a straight into runway 17 center, which would obviously reduce its flight time to the runway. DFW controllers refused to accommodate the crew's request. After the handoff to Dallas regional approach, the crew again stated its preference for runway 17 center.
I'm sorry, sir, we cannot accept 31 right. We got a low fuel situation. We need 17 center.
Can I suggest a closer airport if you're that low?
Eventually, the crew caves in and accepts the clearance to runway 31 right. We don't know if it was flowed into the existing sequence or given priority to 31 right. Either way, the controller egregiously mishandled what was clearly an aircraft in distress. When the FAA was asked to respond, a spokesman said there was confusion about the term minimal fuel and fuel emergency, and the controllers in question were undergoing retraining. Yet even a casual review of the tape indicates that both the crew and the handing off controller from Fort Worth Center clearly used the word emergency, not minimum fuel advisory. There shouldn't have been any confusion about the flight's distress status. Presumably, the controller's retraining will include a force reading of their own manual, FAA Order 7110.65, which has an entire chapter devoted to the handling of emergencies. The manual is quite clear on one thing. If there's any doubt about an aircraft's emergency status, handle it as an emergency. An emergency handling means priority over every other aircraft, even a string of arrivals to a busy airport like DFW. One possible point of confusion that didn't occur here, but sometimes does, is the difference between a minimum fuel advisory and an emergency. Look in the Aeronautical Information Manual, Section 5-5-15, for a description of what a minimum fuel advisory is. Basically, it tells ATC that the airplane has enough fuel to reach the destination, but can't accept any undue delays. Think of it as the first stop before actually declaring a real, full-blown emergency. But that didn't happen here. The crew clearly declared an emergency, and once they had done that, the controller was obligated to give them priority handling. Period. I'm not second-guessing the crew's decision-making in this incident. None of us know the details of how or why the low-fuel situation developed. But the takeaway here is this. After the crew was initially denied runway 17 center, they would have been fully justified in simply telling the controller they were landing on that runway, and he could damn well figure out what to do with his other airplanes to make room. If that meant shooing them all to Houston or Kansas City, so be it. And remember this, once you've declared an emergency, you're in with both feet. You're not going to earn any brownie points for making ATC's job easier. They are, after all, there to help you, not the other way around. The controller involved in this incident is apparently about to be reminded of that. I'm Paul Bertarelli, reporting for Aviation Safety Magazine.
Today's report was brought to you by the Bose Aviation Headset 10.
The Bose Aviation Headset 10. For 5 years, the number one choice in Professional Pilot Magazine survey. Enjoy an unmatched combination of comfortable fit, noise reduction, and clearer audio with 50% less clamping force than most conventional ANR headsets. Learn more at Bose.com/headset. Fly with the Aviation Headset 10 for 30 days risk-free. Order now and receive free shipping. And learn about the convenient payment plan. Visit Bose.com/headset.
AvWeb.com now presents more general aviation news delivered more often in a more reader-friendly format. Be sure and check it out at www.avweb.com. Comments on today's audio cast welcome at audionews@avweb.com. This report was brought to you by the Bose Aviation Headset 10. Look for AvWeb's next audio cast on Friday, March 2nd. Thanks for listening to AvWeb Audio. We'll be right back.